Hello, this program is called Plain and Simple. We're looking at the subject of the failure of fundamentalism. Stay tuned for our broadcast. Broadcast, we were talking about the subject of ecclesiastical separation. That's just a fancy title for separating at a ministry level. We are commanded in 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Now we command you, it's not a suggestion, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he receive of us. We have another warning in 2 Peter 2, in verse number 1, there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Now, we have here a picture of Christians preaching heresy. Peter, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, warned us that false teachers would be among us. He said they would bring in damnable heresies. A damnable heresy is a heresy that will damn a soul to eternity in hell. We are also told that these promoters of damnable heresies would even deny the Lord that bought them. Now, the Greek word translated bought has been translated redeemed three times. It is very obvious that this verse is talking about Christians promoting this damnable heresy in the last days. Our God-given responsibility is to reprove them openly and withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. What about the subject of Calvinism? For a detailed message on this subject, go to our website. There's a book there entitled Calvinism. None dare call it heresy. You can download that book free of charge. What did John Calvin say? We call predestination, this is what he said, we call predestination God's eternal decree by which he compacted with himself what he willed to become of each man. For all are not created in equal condition, rather eternal life is foreordained for some and eternal damnation for others. That's what John Calvin said. That is heresy. That is an attack on the character of God. Calvin taught that God brought people into this world and he would be glorified by watching them burn in hell for eternity. According to Calvinism, it might be your mother, it might be your little boy, it might be your daughter, your wife, and all the children in the church nursery that God would delight in sending to hell. That is heresy. If that is not heresy, what is? It's not a damnable heresy such as Hiles and Hudson preached. You can believe in Calvinism, and if you're really saved, you can still go to heaven, but you can't get saved if you don't believe in repentance. In other words, it's something that we are commanded to withdraw ourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly. You're going to attack the character of God and say that God has brought some people in this world for no other reason to send them to hell. That is heresy. Concerning parachurch organizations in the New Testament, we read reference to the church in 79 verses and churches in another 36 verses. In the age in which we live, God has chosen the local church and only the local church to do his work. Again, we will repeat this verse often, 1 Timothy 3, verse number 5, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. There are no instructions for parachurch ministries in the Bible. Parachurch ministries have taken over the functions that were given to God by God to local churches. There are no scriptural grounds for any Christian organization to exist outside of the authority of the local church. Absolutely none. One of the main reasons we face the apostasy of our day is the flood of parachurch movements that are doing that which is right in their own eyes. God has given his people clear instructions for local church age, and for about 2,000 years we did things God's way and had God's blessing. In recent years, we've set his instructions aside and have accepted the new modern ways of the world. While the structure of all parachurch ministries are contrary to the doctrine which we have received of the Lord, the substance concerning what they teach may or may not be contrary to the Word of God. Do we draw the line concerning our fellowship with parachurch organizations at a ministry level? Absolutely we do, if we are going to be loyal to the Word of God. Fellowship at a ministry level. I want to continue to emphasize that we are dealing with fellowship at a ministry level. For example, I would not be violating the Scripture by having a copy with Billy Graham. In fact, I would very much like to have a copy with Billy Graham. I was saved in one of his meetings. However, I doubt our meeting would end in sweet fellowship, because after I thanked him for having a part in my coming to Christ, I would need to rebuke him for his apostasy. And if I was going to be true to my God-given responsibilities, that is what I would do. What about the issue of contemporary Christian music? Should we fellowship at a ministry level with the promoters of CCM music? This is a no-brainer. It is plain and it is simple. It is a separation issue. Ephesians 5:11 is not difficult to understand. It is plain and it is simple. It commands us to have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Any Christian who promotes CCM music is blatantly ignoring that verse. The word translated fellowship here is translated partaker in Revelation 18:4, where referring to those who promote the end time apostasy, we are commanded to not be partaker of her sins. CCM music promotes ecumenicalism. CCM music is at home in the midst of today's apostasy. CCM music promotes a false doctrine. CCM music is so-called worship is satanic. CCM music is mostly junk food that simply feeds the emotions and misses the purpose of music that is taught in the Word of God. CCM music is junk food with a little so-called fundamental adaptation. It's still junk food. And the Bible says, be not partakers. Can we pay them copyright fees and reprove them at the same time? It says in 2 Thessalonians 3:6, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he has received of us. What part of command you is too difficult to understand? What part of withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly is too difficult to understand? It is plain and it is simple. We are commanded to reprove and rebuke those who promote things contrary to the Word of God, not to pay them copyright money and help them in their anti-God teachings. Again, I want to stress that the purpose of this message is to help determine where we should draw the line concerning ecclesiastical separation. The question is, who should we separate from at a ministry level, and why should we separate? The basis for ecclesiastical separation is doctrine. We are commanded to continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, Acts 2:42. Second, we are to separate from those who refuse to continue in Bible doctrine. We are commanded to mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Number three, we are not to be partial in our judgment. The Bible says, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. 1 Timothy 5:21. Number four, all who promote salvation apart from repentance are to be marked and avoided. Romans 16:17. We cannot work together at a ministry level with those who promote this damnable heresy. Number five, Calvinism is a blatant attack on the character of God. Calvin taught that God would be glorified by bringing people into this world to have them burned in hell. That is heresy. We cannot work together at a ministry level with those who promote this heresy. parachurch ministries. While all parachurch ministries are not promoters of apostasy, all are operating outside of the only means found in the Word of God for promoting the plan of God in this age, which is the local church. Check out 1 Timothy 3 and verse number 15. Next, we cannot be faithful to the Word of God and operate His work in any way we please. We cannot be scripturally incorrect, fellowship at a ministry level with any parachurch ministries. A parachurch ministry is any ministry that is operating outside of the authority of the local church. There is no instructions in the Bible for such a ministry. And then we have the CCM promoters. Ephesians 5:11 commands us to have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. We have seen in Revelation 18:4, we are commanded, be not partaker of her sins. The bottom line is this. If you are going to draw the line where God draws the line concerning ecclesiastical separation, it is going to cost you something. The Bible says, buy the truth and sell it not. The truth is very, very expensive. It will cost you lifelong friends. The will of God is not complicated. However, it is very costly. Our problem does not rest in our understanding God's will. It is a case of whether we are willing to do God's will or not. Jesus said, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say? We have a tremendous example of this in the Old Testament, and as time permits on this broadcast, we will begin it, and we will have to carry it on in our next broadcast for sure. But we're looking at phony fundamentalists, and the doctrine of Balaam is a perfect example of that. Christ directed his words to the pastor of a local church when he said in Revelation 2:14, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. Again, the seven letters were written to seven pastors. It starts out that way in every one of those seven letters. To the angel, which means minister or means messenger, God wrote these things. And he said to the pastor, I have a few things against thee, because thou hast them there in your local church, them that hold to the doctrine of Balaam. Now, some promoters of apostasy are unsaved, and some are Christians. It would seem obvious that the apostasy promoting pastor mentioned in Revelation 2:14 was a Christian. Balaam sounded like a solid fundamentalist, however, he was unsaved. He was one of the greatest hypocrites on the face of the earth at that time. We see that Balaam sounded very fundamental. We're going to give you some examples of that. He said in Numbers 22:13, he refused to go with the enemies of Israel, and he said, Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuses to give me leave to go with you. Well, that sounds pretty fundamental. In chapter 22 and verse 18, Balaam sounded like a fundamental leader. We read, and Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Well, that sounds pretty fundamental. Chapter 22:38. Today, most fundamental leaders would welcome this man to preach in their local church. He said this, and Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Oh, he sounds like a fundamentalist to me. In chapter 23, verses 8 through 10, he said, how shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like this. Well, that sounds pretty fundamental, except we'll see as we go on in this broadcast that when it was all over, Balaam was in hell. He was not a Christian. Well, we're going to look at it next broadcast. We're out of time. We'll try to make it plain and simple. Tune in. We're looking at the failures of fundamentalism.